Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Barbara Heil. Barbara's a friend I've met just in the last few years and has an amazing story of how she's entered into the Catholic Church. She spent a few decades as a Pentecostal pastor, and the Lord used her powerfully in many places around the world. And her story of coming into the Catholic Church is very inspiring. And so I've asked Barbara to kind of be here with us all week just to let it unfold and kind of whatever the Lord puts on her heart to share from her experience to be with us. So welcome, Barbara.
Hello.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah, so yesterday you talked about meeting Jesus. Friends, if you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, the programs are archived at renewalministries.net. You can listen to them on the computer, just download them. Listen to him at your leisure. Barbara just kind of began. She had no background and was not really raised Christian or anything, and had a very difficult background in many ways. But as a college student, came to meet Jesus, and it was transformational for her, as you can imagine. So we're going to kind of pick up from where we left off yesterday.
Well, we left off where I was talking about being a young missionary. By this time, I was a pastor's wife and a mom. We had pioneered several churches, and I had really lived a life where I was really running after the things of the Lord. I had deeply experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I was shocked to meet Catholics who were also full of the Spirit, full of the life of God, really loved Jesus. But I had a problem because I didn't understand how this was possible, because in my missionary training, I had been so trained on how to win a Catholic and why they needed salvation and why they needed Jesus, and taught by good people who didn't really, I believe, fully understand what they were talking about at the time. But I found myself in a missionary community where I lived for many years, and my directors began to allow some Catholics that wanted to join our community into our community, and I was scandalized. Because, again, I had the certificate on how to win a Catholic. Well, about this time, we experienced a deep movement of the Lord in our midst, where we would get caught up in deep worship and really experience the profound presence of the Lord. And this drew people from all over the world to come to our very humble ministry. And I began to teach a lot about the things of the Lord in the hidden places, the things of the Lord in his presence, of experiencing and encountering the love of Jesus in a real way. And one day I had been teaching a series on the glory, on the presence of the Lord, experiencing God. And this man who was the Catholic, one of the Catholics on staff, his name is Bill Woolner, Bill walks up to me and he says, "I have a book for you." He said, "Will it offend you if I offer you a book to read?" And I said, "Oh, no, it won't offend me. I'll read your book." And he hands me a book, and I kind of glanced at it and kind of put it in the drawer with the cross that Father Owen Lally gave me. And a few weeks later, I pulled it out and thought, "Oh, what's this book Bill gave me?" And I began to read this book, and I was stunned. This book was talking about everything we were pursuing in our hearts for Jesus. And I was stunned for three reasons. This book was written 500 years ago, and I thought we were cutting edge. Yeah. The second thing was, this book was written by a Catholic. And remember, I had a certificate on why they needed to be saved. And the third reason was, this was written by a cloistered nun. Her name was St. Teresa of Avila. Yeah. I had never heard of her, but I found out a lot about her. And I just devoured this book, and I was like, wow, I just can't believe this. This is amazing. And she's just filled with God and filled with the Spirit, and the way she said things were so beautiful. And I learned from her. I was so hungry for the presence of God, to know God deeper. And I'm learning from this Catholic woman, nun, writer from 500 years ago. And it just floored me. So now I can't get enough. And Bill asks me, "Are you done with my book yet?" I was like, "Do you got any more of these books?" And he starts to give me books by people like Bernard of Clairvaux and Catherine of Siena. And basically, he's feeding me the doctors of the church. I've never heard of the doctors of the church, but I'm just devouring this. He then hands me a cassette tape series. The first one was a cassette tape. Now, a couple of years has gone by, and I'm just devouring this stuff. In the meantime, I'm preaching we're traveling, we're ministering, we're pastoring, I'm doing conferences all over the world. And in my spare time, I'm reading the Catholic Doctors of the Church. And so Bill hands me a series, a new cassette series by this man I'd never heard of. He knows I love the Doctors of the Church, so he hands me a cassette series on the life of Teresa, on the writings of Teresa of Avila by this man named Ralph Martin that I'd also never heard of. And so now I'm introduced to these teachings that Ralph did on the Doctors of the Church and was doing. And I went from cassettes to CDs, and I'm just devouring this stuff. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't understand. I got the certificate, Lord. You know that I have this certificate on how to win a Catholic. How can this be? And I began to look for Catholics that I can ask questions of, and I really had a hard time finding anybody to ask the questions. In the meantime, my late husband and I moved to the northern Minnesota area where we pioneered a church. And up there, for sure, I couldn't find a Catholic that understood my questions, let alone the answers to my questions. And so I'm reading all this stuff, and I'm ordering the latest CD series on the Doctors of the Church by Dr. Ralph Martin. And finally, I get on the internet. I mean, what do you do when you can't find an answer? Right. You Google. So there I am, after meetings, after hours, my kids are asleep, and I'm Googling, what about this? What do the Catholics teach about that? And I would read these books and I would circle the things I didn't understand. I still have these books and I look back over them and I'm like, wow, have I come a long way?
Yeah.
I would circle phrases I didn't understand or thoughts I didn't understand, transubstantiation, purgatory, things like that. Why do Catholics worship Jesus? Well, later I found out they don't worship Jesus, but I didn't.
Well, Mary, you mean?
Mary.
Yeah, yeah, Mary, yeah.
What did I say?
Jesus.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We do worship Jesus.
They do
worship Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so right. That shows you how confused I was.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And so I had these questions, and I found myself on another, on a Catholic site that began to answer my questions, and I actually got an anonymous handle and would anonymously get on a minister's forum for Catholics, I mean, for people looking at the Catholic Church, and began to get some answers to my questions. I didn't always like the answers, because remember, I had the certificate.
Right, right.
But I began to learn, and I began to get some books. And in the meantime, I started a Bible school. I was forming groups of adults that wanted to use their vacations to do something for the Lord instead of just going to Disneyland or something like that. That's good too, but to do something for the Lord on their vacation. So began to form adult missionary training classes. And so I'm doing that. I'm preaching the gospel. We're going around the world, ministering to whoever the Lord brings us to speak to. And in the meantime, I'm reading Catholic material in my downtime. And I'm really being drawn into the Catholic Church. And I don't realize everything that God is doing. I began to visit cathedrals when I would be out of town. I'd go to cathedrals in major cities around the world and just sit there and weep for the beauty. I didn't understand what I was feeling. I didn't understand what was there. I would observe the people that were there. And I will tell you, frankly, it wasn't always a good experience because I would also at the same time observe in the middle of all this beauty, in the middle of all this Catholicism I was learning about, as I would sit in these cathedrals and churches, I would also observe people that were oblivious to the fact that there was a seeker in their midst. Mm-hmm. And as an evangelist and as someone that loves to tell people about Jesus, I marveled that nobody was able to talk to me or wanted to talk to me or any of the other visitors that were visiting these great cathedrals. It was obvious that, you know, they're thumbing through the materials, trying to comprehend what's going on during the Mass, and nobody's trying to help them. And I would look at this and think, this is something I don't understand, how you can have this beauty and not want to share it.
Yeah.
And so that was also another thing I began to wonder about. My late husband died during that time, and I was finding myself, you know, asking the Lord, what's next? And God put me on a sabbatical. And for a year, I canceled 13 months of meetings. And he put me on a sabbatical. And the day that my sabbatical began was the day my mom called me to tell me she was diagnosed with fourth stage non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I thought, wow, Lord, amazing that you put me on sabbatical. So I'm taking the year off so I could go be with my mom and pray with her and walk with her through this. And so I flew out there to be with my mother, and I had my books with me, and I'm with her when she's going through treatment. Anyway, even at that time, they were telling her there was no hope. They were telling her there was you know, not to raise her hopes up. But we had people around the world praying for her, and I was praying for her, and we're reading scriptures together, and I got her laughing, and I'm just going to cut to the chase so you're not wondering. Yeah. I was with my mom for her last PET scan, and on her last PET scan, she was cancer-free. That was 7 years ago now. She is still cancer-free. She is alive and well. The doctors are amazed, so I just have to get that part out
fantastic.
Of the way.
Fantastic. Thanks be to God.
I know. God is so good. He's amazing. And during that time when I was with my mom out in Washington, she's like, "What are you reading? What are you reading?" And I'd be like, "Oh, just books. I'm just reading." You know, my mom has witnessed me become a Christian. She's witnessed me leave everything and head off to the mission field. She, you know, I've prayed with her. I've talked with her about the Lord. And I thought, I cannot tell my mom now I'm reading Catholic books. She's going to just think, what's going on? And so she's badgering me. "What are you reading? What are you reading?" And I'm like, "Okay, Mom, it's Catholic, okay?" And I pull out the book I was reading and about the fathers of the church, and my mom's eyes got really big, and I start to tell her, "I love going to Mass. Mom, I don't understand it. I go to Mass. I feel so at home. I feel the presence of the Lord there. I don't get it. It's amazing." And my mom's just looking at me, and finally she says, "Well, you know you were baptized Catholic." And I was like, "No, you neglected to tell me that little piece of information. I had no idea I'd been baptized Catholic." And I'm like, "Mom, tell me what happened. I didn't know. Tell me." And what you have to know is on our first interview, I had shared that my mother left when I was 12. Mm-hmm. And my father had been really abusive, an alcoholic, the whole nine yards. My mom left, got remarried, just had a whole new life. And later when I came to the Lord, the first thing that the Lord did was heal our relationship. Uh-huh. So I began to have this relationship with my mom. So now I'm in her living room while she's going through her cancer treatments, and she's telling me, "You were baptized Catholic as a child at St. Francis Xavier in St. Louis, Missouri." I had no idea, but it answered so many questions. And what I understood then was I did not know that I was in covenant with God, but God had never forgotten that he was in covenant with me. And I suddenly understood, if you're listening to the first program, I would talk about being in pain and there'd be a man in the sky who would comfort me. I suddenly understood that that's why Jesus was with me.
Yeah,
that's why he was comforting me, was because I'd been baptized. Even though I didn't know it, he knew it, and he stayed with
beautiful.
Me.
That's beautiful. It's amazing. Barbara, thanks for sharing that. Friends, Barbara's going to be with us hopefully the rest of the week. There's so much more to her story in becoming a Catholic and just her encounters with Christ. And hopefully before the week's over, I can just ask her some of the things Jesus taught her as a leader, because she's got a lot to bring to the church as well. Hope you can join us again tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.